From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Secure in God's Everlasting Arms, part of this series in the 8th chapter of Romans. The text, verse 28, is one of the most beloved verses in all of the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. The context is the weaknesses of God's people, especially their physical, temporal problems. The text is also connected to the teaching of the whole chapter, the truth that there is no condemnation to believers in Christ. Because of that, Paul could say, "We know." As we've seen, the all things mentioned in the verse does not refer to every single event in a believer's life, but to the truth that all things taken together are accomplishing God's purpose in that saint's life. Our assurance of this is founded in the fact of who God is. Also, it is vital to understand that this verse applies only to those that love God. The unsaved have no such promise, for those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ do not love God. Before Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of the message, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Obedience Brings Blessing. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Though salvation is not by the works of the law, yet the blessings which are promised to obedience are not denied to the faithful servants of God. The curses our Lord took away when he was made a curse for us, but no clause of blessing has been abrogated. We are to note and listen to the revealed will of the Lord, giving our attention not to portions of it, but to all these words. There must be no picking and choosing, but an impartial respect to all that God has commanded. This is the road of blessedness for the Father and for his children. The Lord's blessing is upon His chosen to the third and fourth generation. If they walk uprightly before Him, He will make all men know that they are a seed which the Lord has blessed. No blessing can come to us or ours through dishonesty or double dealing. The ways of worldly conformity and unholiness cannot bring good to us or ours. It will go well with us when we go well before God. If integrity does not make us prosper, knavery will not. That which gives pleasure to God will bring pleasure to us.
Word.
The greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preaching during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
know that all things, what? When they're searching your body, thinking you might have cancer? Or they're looking for a brain hemorrhage? Or the possibility of telling you you'll be dead in a week or a month? We know, even then, our God is all good. He's working even these things together for our good. And our good equals our sanctification to conform us to Christ. What a comfort. Proverbs 12:21 tells me there shall no evil happen to the just. That's simply an Old Testament version. Whatever God does, it's going to be ultimately for the good of His people. You remember the words of Joseph when he spoke to his brethren after they had buried Jacob. Genesis 50, verse 20, "You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Notice the "unto." God meant it for good. Now, I want to tell you, when Joseph was lying in the pit, he didn't feel very good. We learn from the words of his brothers, he cried, he bleated like a sheep, pleading for mercy. But there was no mercy. Didn't feel good when he was sold as a slave. Didn't feel good when he was wrongly accused of immorality and thrown into prison. Didn't feel good when he was left to rot by the butler who quickly forgot about him when he got out of jail. No, it didn't feel good. But God was fashioning Joseph to have the right man in the right place at the right time to do a great work for God that changed the history of the world. He's working all things. You meant it for evil. He meant it for good. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he spoke about people who were trying to make life hard for him. Paul was a preacher. And so there were people who thought, well, we'll make life hard for him. We'll get out and we'll preach and we'll be so outrageous and public in our preaching, he'll get the blame. Paul says, well, whether it's in pretense or reality, Christ is being preached. People are hearing about Christ that never would have heard of him before, or otherwise. And he says, the things that have happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. They meant it for evil. God worked it for good. Now that's a wonderful truth. You can take this truth, you can live with it, you can suffer with it, and you can die with it. But the text demands one big question. Is it true of you? Is it true of you? Because you see, it's not true that all things work together for good. That's just a lie. If a man dies tonight and goes from Greenville to everlasting hell, where's the good for him? So this sort of Pollyanna kind of world that, oh, everything's going to work out for good, the Bible doesn't teach that. All things work together for good, and here is an exclusive company to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, and to no one else. This is true of believers, the justified, nobody else. They're described in these two ways. They love God. They love God. Now this actually, at first, seems to be a little out of place. You look at this context, it's all about what God has done. You go into the verses before, it's the Spirit doing this. You go into the verses after, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, he also called, he also justified. It's all what God did. So therefore, God's people are looked on in this context as believers. They're looked on as people upon whom God has worked to deliver them from condemnation. And suddenly into the middle of it all, we have this description of them as being lovers of God. Seems a little incongruous, and yet it's not. You see, one thing we've got to understand, justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein He pardons all our sins and He accepts us as righteous in His sight only because of the righteousness of Christ, which He imputes to us and we receive by faith alone. That's what's called in theology a forensic, a judicial, a legal act of God changing our legal status before Him. But I want you to know something. When a man is justified by faith, that man will be a lover of God. You can't believe in Him if you don't love Him. Your faith is a vain parody of true faith. If you don't love Him, true believers love God. So much so that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, and he said, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be cursed, let him be damned, let him be lost eternally. If you do not love God, you do not believe in Jesus Christ. Now, this is not some vain emotion. This is love of the highest kind. If you think of this love, in the words of a great German commentator, it is comprehension coupled with corresponding purpose. This is a love that knows, I know whom I have believed. And it is a purpose of heart to live for the glory of God. That's the love we're talking about. This is not just talking about mere sentimentality. Getting worked up with a few charismatic choruses, swaying in some hypnotic state until you feel like you've had a high on some drugs. Not the kind of love we're talking about. Talking about a love that's grounded in a biblical knowledge of God, and that then produces a purpose to please God. They love Him. And then they're the called according to His purpose. And this clarifies the first. You see, we just said this is true for all who love God. You would think, well, there's something in my love that merits all this. And of course, that's not true. There's nothing meritorious in anything we do or say or feel. Everything in salvation must be traced right back to God. He settled His love on us according to His eternal purpose. He called us with an effectual call of irresistible grace. This is the company. Now, for this company, all things are working together. In other words, if you're like old Jacob, you're going through life, there's no soft down pillow. All you've got to lay your head on is a rock. And all you've got to lie down on is the bare hard earth. If you're like old Jacob and you're going through a rough time, yet you can say, all this is working together for my good. I don't know how it's doing it. I don't know how God is going to bring it all about. But I know He will bring it about. Whatever your circumstances, in this company, all things are working together for good. But say you're outside this company. And you know if you're in it or if you're out of it. Let me ask you tonight, are you among the lovers of God? Are you among those who have been called of God, and in obedience to that call you have come to Christ, and you can say, I love Him because He first loved me. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Are you among the lovers of God? No unsaved man can love God. Not one. As Spurgeon said many, many years ago, they may love a God of their own imagining, but they cannot love the God of revelation. They cannot love the God of grace. They have no heart fixed for the glory of God. No unsaved man can genuinely love God or His Christ. So again I ask you, are you in this company? Because if you're not, this promise is not for you. Oh, things are working all right in your life. Time is fleeting. The moments are going into hours, and the hours into days, and the days into weeks, and the weeks into years, and they're speeding by, and they're carrying you at tremendous velocity toward the great eternity of God. Things are working okay. But if you're not a lover of God, no matter what your religious pretensions may be, things are not working together for your good. You stop and think of this. Outside of this exclusive company, all that is working in the lives of the impenitent and the ungodly is conducting them to an everlasting midnight darkness of hell. All things working together for good for God's people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.